Karuna regularly held, that is what we come into now. Karuna regularly held grand march pasts. Huge parades he used to organize and conduct great celebrations to show off his wealth to the people. Hundreds of wonderfully decorated horses. Thousands of expensively garbed, ceremonially dressed young men. A contingent of several hundred beautifully dressed and bejeweled young women. Many asses carrying caskets of gold and silver. He used to parade through the streets to impress the people and to fill them with awe and wonder at his immense wealth. People used to gaze at the splendor and wealth with fascination and wish that they also possessed similar wealth. For example, the Quran says, فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ Allah Ta'ala says, and he, Qarun, went out before his people with pomp, with zina, with great pomp and splendor and riches. From there the Mufassirin say, from this ayat of the Quran, we understand that he is to make these displays. Then from various sayings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain, we can't go into the details of all those various traditions and ahadith. We come to this, what I'm telling you now. He used to organize these huge parades and march pasts, and the people used to be all on both sides of the street, and then all this used to go in from about 200-300 horses, fully covered with rich gold flowing garbs, carrying all this man's riches, and they used to be in front. Behind them, several thousand young men, all dressed, you know, with all his great treasures, all put around their necks and around their hands and around all over the whole body, each one dressed in his own kind of dress. And then behind them used to be young girls, several hundred of them, several thousand boys and several thousand young girls, all carrying his wealth. And then behind them used to be all the asses carrying huge caskets full with gold and overflowing, overrunning, all open. And people used to look in amazement at this huge wealth of this person. There is also a hadith which mentions that 40 asses used to pull the keys right at the back. They used to pull the keys. That is how they have reached that 40 asses or 200 men were used by Karun to pull all the keys. The keys used to be in a chain, and they used to pull all these keys, and the people used to, and he used to tell them that this is all the keys of his treasures. So you must imagine what vast wealth this person had. The point here is to understand how this man should really be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the opposite takes place. People used to gaze at the splendor and wealth with fascination and wish that they also possess similar wealth. Nabi Musa alayhi salam kept inviting Karun to believe in one Allah and to the obedience of one Allah. And he used to keep telling Karun to follow the teachings and instructions of him and his brother Harun alayhi salam. O Karun, you must follow the commandments of Allah Ta'ala contained in the Torah. Karun was asked repeatedly by Nabi Musa alayhi salam to pay zakat of 1 dinar for every 1,000. And he was told this privately by Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and publicly. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam used to plead to Karun privately and publicly, look, Allah Ta'ala has made the rate. For every 1,000 dinars that you possess, you must give 1 dinar zakat. Karun was totally deaf and dumb to such pleas. Nabi Musa alayhi salam persisted and Karun wanted revenge. Several times Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to Karun and told him, Karun, you must give zakat. He used to say, why must I give zakat? It's my wealth, my money, I work for it. Why must I give away from my money? Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam used to tell him, because Allah Ta'ala has commanded me to tell you that it is your duty that you must give zakat. He is to call his soldiers and take Musa and throw him out of my palace. Get rid of him. He's a foolish man. Na'uzubillah. And so it used to go on. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam kept coming and kept reminding him. Eventually, let's put it this way. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam got on the nerves of Qarun. Over a period, he got on the nerves of Qarun. That's the stage that's reached now. Now Qarun wants revenge. He wants Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to be destroyed. Shaitan now comes. Shaitan waits and waits. He provokes, but now he comes personally. Shaitan, of course, disguised as a man. Shaitan whispers an idea to Qarun that appeals to Qarun. And the suggestion that Shaitan makes to Qarun is an evil plan, an evil scheme. But once he whispers it, because he is looking for a plan, he wants to destroy Nabi Musa alayhi salam. And he thinks and thinks, and then suddenly Shaitan whispers this plan to him. Obviously, if it's a whisper, if it's a waswas, then Shaitan doesn't disguise and come in. He is sitting there next to you already or inside your blood, and he merely suggests it. So this is what is happening here at this stage. And the suggestion is an evil one. But Qarun loves the plan, the scheme so much that he immediately sets it into motion. A meeting is called, now I'm telling you exactly how he's putting that scheme into motion. A meeting is called in which people are told by Qarun that the system of zakat introduced by Nabi Musa alayhi salam seeks to plunder them and to rob them of their hard-earned money and wealth. Qarun calls up a big meeting, public gathering, right? Criers they used to have in those days, public criers, they go out and they beat a drum. They beat a drum, and when a new number of people have gathered, then they tell them, look, Qarun, the vizier, has called a meeting, and all of people must attend. And then they run along. That's why we call them criers. They used to go, run, and bang a drum, and the moment people gathered together, give the information, they had no media, there was no television, there was no radio, there was no telephone. So the means of communication in those days was that a number of criers they had, or they used to, in England they used to call them, in Europe they used to call them runners. These runners, or criers as they were known in the East, used to run out, bang, 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 and they normally had people who could shout well. And when people gather, they make the announcement, and they run along a kilometer or two, make an announcement, and they run on. Meanwhile, there's 20, 30 others running through the other districts and making the announcement. Anyway, this was the system. And then when people are gathered in a public square, either according to announcement, either that day or the following day or after so many hours, people, normally they said after sunrise, or they said midday, or they said after sunset, this is how the announcements were made, and the day was given to them. People gathered. Qarun addresses the people, and he tells them that, you know, there is a man amongst us, you people respect him a lot. But you know what this man has told me? This man has told me that I must give 1 dinar in every 1,000 dinars. That I must just give it away. What right does this man have to tell me that I must give away my wealth? I worked for it. I earned this money. Why must I give it away? So he is now, this is what we call incitement. And he is trying to create amongst the people enmity and hatred for Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Whose plan is this? Shaitan came to him and whispered this plan to him. So he says, Qarun says that the system of zakat introduced by Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam seeks to rob them of their hard-earned money and wealth. People, he asked me today, he's asked me to give this much zakat. Tomorrow he's going to come to you. You people, there's business people amongst you, there's merchants amongst you, there's hard-working people amongst you, and he's going to come tomorrow and tell you the same thing that he has told me, and you will have to give away from your wealth as well. Do you want to allow this to go on? Are you going to permit Musa and Harun to go on asking us to give away from our wealth? People are told by him that this is a severe form of injustice, and that they must react with violence towards such oppression and denial of their basic rights to their own property. Almost like we're talking today. Subhanallah. Same human rights and your rights to your property. This is what Karun is doing in how many thousands of years ago. Karun is telling them, your basic human right is that your wealth is your own. Nobody has a right and a hug to it. People normally go along with existing power structures and generally love to please existing authorities. It's a general trend. You know what people are. Here is power. Who is power there? An authority? Karun. Karun is a power and authority. He is acting on behalf of Fir'aun. Fir'aun is the ruler, the king. He is the chief minister. And he now tells the people that, you know, this man, this is what he wants to do. And it is your basic right to hold on to that which you have earned, to hold on to your property. And people, obviously, where there is power and authority and wealth, people like to enjoy the fruits of such wealth. Many of the people present, at the end of the meeting, many of the people present promised to support whatever action Karun proposed against Nabi Musa alayhi salam. He asked them for, you can say, support. And the result was that everybody present at that meeting, or the majority of them, raised their hands and they said, Karun, you must now decide, you the ruler, you the chief, you must decide whatever steps you decide to take against Musa alayhi salam, we will go along with you. We give you our vote, our support. This was what he wanted. And that he got. Now Shaitan comes along again, and Shaitan again suggested an idea to Karun, who immediately went about implementing it. Now the first plan and scheme of Shaitan has been given to Karun. Karun has carried that out. Now Karun is in a puzzle again. He's got the vote of support, complete support of the people. Now he thinks, what must my next move be? And as he thinks, Shaitan is hadir, and Shaitan gives him now and advises him on the next step that Karun must take. The scheme that Shaitan suggests to Karun is a very evil one. It is a treacherous one. But it appealed to Karun, for it would once and for all destroy Nabi Musa alayhi salam. And this is what Shaitan really desired, and this is what Karun also desired. So they have become companions in evil. The suggestion of Shaitan was that a woman of bad reputation should be summoned by Karun and told to give evidence against Nabi Musa alayhi salam in public that Musa alayhi salam had committed adultery with her. A woman, Shaitan says, you must find a woman and you must tell her she must stand up in front of thousands of people and she must publicly on oath declare that Musa alayhi salatu was salam committed adultery with her. For this, she would be richly rewarded. For this, a woman was eventually called by Karun, and she was made partner into this crime, and she was richly rewarded and bribed by Karun. The idea Shaitan suggested to Karun, the idea was that by her making such a claim in public, the law of the Torah that adulterers should be stoned to death would be applied against Nabi Musa alayhi salam by the enraged and inflamed masses when they were informed of this crime and sin of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. And in this way, the public would be so inflamed when she gives this evidence that they would immediately take Nabi Musa alayhi salam and they would stone him to death. This was the plot, this was the plan of Shaitan which he gave to Karun, and Karun was going to carry this out. Now look what happens. Now Karun knew that Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam used to deliver a public lecture once a week in which thousands of people, masses of people used to gather. And Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam used to address them and he would speak to them on the commandments of Allah Ta'ala that are contained in the Quran, in the Torah maf, and on the need to obey these divine laws. Nabi Musa alayhi salam would often speak to them on the sifat, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would warn the people about the akhirah. despite an impediment. You know that Nabi Musa alayhi salam did have an impediment in speech. He used to stutter slightly. Brothers, any one of us that has got a stutter is nothing to be ashamed of. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam also used to have a slight stutter, and you know why this happened. It is recorded that Nabi Musa alayhi salam, in spite of having an impediment, he was an eloquent preacher. And this is a gift I found in several people, that when they concentrate on what they are saying, they forget that impediment and that stutter. And you will find that they when they speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they speak on deen, they themselves forget that they have a stutter and they say beautiful things. So Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, it is recorded, he used to be so absorbed in, look, he was a man who spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine what beautiful kalam Nabi Musa alayhi salam was? They say it was like a miracle. The whole thousands of people that were gathered there, all of them used to listen to him in a rapturous silence. And Allah had given him a wonderful voice as well. So he used to address vast multitudes gathered to listen to him in rapture and in silence to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we come to the story. Qarun arrived at one such meeting, being addressed by Nabi Musa alayhi salam. And when he came to the meeting, he came with all his followers, all his soldiers and his bodyguards, he came in. Now immediately, obviously, when such royalty comes in, or such an important personage comes to a meeting, people tend to look at him, and this is what they found. They found that Qarun, when he came in, he began to snigger, to jeer, to joke, and to try and humiliate Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But to no avail, for the people were engrossed in listening to the speech of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Knowledge and wisdom flowed from the lips of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and the people sat enthralled, listening, learning and absorbing the words of revelation. Qarun's attitude was despicable. The heckling by his supporters was rude. They were trying to disturb and trying to break up the meeting. As Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam paused during the proceedings, the woman that had been bribed by Qarun, stood up to make the serious allegation of adultery against Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in front of thousands of people, and so to ruin the reputation of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and to ruin his reputation amongst the people and his standing forever. As the woman stood up, all eyes turned upon her and she began to speak. These are her words as she stood up to speak. She says, O Bani Israel, Qarun is an enemy of Musa. Yesterday, Qarun invited me to his mansion and he bribed me with gifts to accuse Musa of having committed adultery with me. I say to you, this is all lies, for Musa is a true messenger of Allah who speaks nothing but the truth. Qarun was stunned. The people were shocked. The woman herself could not believe her ears. This is not what she had stood up to say. This is not what she intended to say. Her intention, remember last I told you a story a few weeks ago, same thing. Her intention was to nail Nabi Musa alayhi salam, meaning her intention was to make a serious allegation against Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And she stood up to say what she had been bribed to say. But the words that emerged from her lips were guided by a stronger power, a greater force, over which she had no control. Realizing the truth, she herself, she was a clever woman, an intelligent woman. And when she realized the truth, when she realized that she was going to say something, and this is what came out, she realized the truth, then she quickly added, I declare that the God of Musa is my God. that the Allah of Musa is my Allah, that the Rabb of Musa is my Rabb, and I testify that Musa is the true messenger of Allah, and I beseech Allah for pardon and forgiveness for all my sins. She said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Musa kalimullah. The crowd erupted in a tumultuous way. Accusations flew against Qarun of bribery and corruption. How could you do such a despicable thing, they asked him. How dare you accuse a messenger of Allah? Some people in the crowd shouted, kill him. Some shouted, destroy him. Some said, burn him. Some said, hang him. These were the popular shouts of anger and resentment from the crowd. Oh, how the tables had been turned. Qarun could not believe his ears. What had happened to his carefully laid plans? The scheming, instigating, seducing shaitan was nowhere to be seen. You know, I've already told you, when shaitan sees the power of Allah Ta'ala descending, shaitan is nowhere to be found, brothers. He turns and he runs as fast as he can. Qarun shivered in the sweat and cold of his fear. Where was his wealth? Where were his riches? Where was his power now? The people looked at him with hatred, with scorn, and with venom. For years he had paraded his wealth and power before them. His boastfulness and selfishness was known to them. His arrogance and his conceit was equally well known to them. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had endured the provocations of Qarun with patience for years and years. Qarun had done everything in his power to restrict and to restrain Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam from propagating the message of truth. And to inhibit Nabi Musa alayhi salam from spreading the message of Islam. That is basically all the Anbiya's, I've used this word Islam in its true sense, because every messenger of Allah Ta'ala spread the message of Haq and truth, which is Islam. Qarun had harassed the two brother prophets at every turn, and now he had tried to make such a serious accusation against a prophet of Allah that the people were waiting for a sign or a signal from Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam before they pounced on Qarun and tore him into pieces from limb to limb for such villainy and for such filth. Look at the respect they have for Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. They want to tear Qarun apart, but nobody makes a move. They're all looking at Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He must tell them what to do. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in the meantime, they see, has prostrated himself in front of Allah Ta'ala, and he was beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and guidance. He was saying, all praises are due to the one Allah who is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He was saying, for example, O Allah, your enemy has tried to disgrace me. Your enemy has tried to humiliate me. O Allah, your enemy has tried to destroy me. O Allah, I am your messenger. I am your true Rasul. And I am your faithful slave, O Allah. Have mercy on me, O Allah. And let truth triumph over evil. Let your word, your kalam prevail, O Allah. And punish evil, O Allah. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, as he is making this dua and asking Allah's guidance and Allah's nusra, Allah's rahmah and Allah's help, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go down immediately and to present himself to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Obviously, Jibreel alayhi salam, the people don't see him, but Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam hears him clearly. Oh, he hears and perhaps even sees Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Jibreel alayhi salam arrived immediately and told Nabi Musa, O Musa, I have a message from you, from Allah. Allah sends you salams, and O Musa, raise your head, for Allah has accepted your dua. Allah has declared this earth to be subservient to you, so you may instruct earth to do your bidding, and it will obey you. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down, delivers the salams of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he tells Musa, Musa, raise yourself, stand up now from your sujood. Allah ta'ala says that that this earth will obey whatever order, whatever command you give it. Allah Ta'ala has instructed this earth, meaning that earth around there, not entire earth, the earth around that place where Qarun is standing, that Allah Ta'ala has given instructions of Musa, there's earth there, and you can instruct and say anything to earth, earth will obey you. This is the message I have brought to you from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam raised his head from the ground and he addressed the assembly. He said, O Bani Israel, as Allah made truth triumph over evil in granting me victory over Fir'aun, so I have now come to Qarun by the decree of Allah. Those who follow truth will part from Qarun and come to me. And those who follow Qarun will prefer his company, so they must go to him. Now the ground is being prepared. All those, Allah has sent me to Qarun. Like Allah sent me to Fir'aun, so Allah has sent me to Qarun. I have delivered the message of haq and truth, of tawheed and risalat and akhirah to Qarun. You people are aware Qarun has rejected the message. Now you are aware of what Qarun tried to do to me. Here's the woman who has given evidence. She herself has said what Qarun did to try and destroy me. Now I say to you, you decide, all those who want to follow haq and truth, meaning tawheed and risalat and akhirat, believing in one Allah, believing in the risalat of Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Nabi Harun alayhi salam, and who believe that they will be held accountable on the day of judgment, qiyamah, all of them come here, stand behind me. And all those who want to join the oppressor and who want to join Qarun, the one who rejects the kafir and the mushrik, all those who want to join him, you go and stand with him. Those who follow truth will part from Qarun and come to me. And those who follow him will prefer his company, so they must go to him. All, excepting two people, stayed with Qarun. The rest of them came and joined Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. There was a feeling all round in the assembly that something terrible, something ominous was about to take place. Something ominous was that there was impending doom and destruction about to take place. And tension mounted as the people held their breath. They had seen too much of the miracles of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam not to realize that a great miracle was about to take place, but that this miracle would be one of destruction. Something is going to happen. Everybody knew. Tension was mounting. Qarun was dumbstruck. He was dumbstruck with fear. For the first time in his life, he had no control over the situation. Helplessly, he awaited the verdict of Nabi Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, whom he had scorned and humiliated throughout his life. And he had made the brunt of his jokes and his attacks. Qarun had been an ardent follower of shaitan all his life. He had always danced to the music of shaitan. He had been easily seduced by shaitan. At this moment, where was shaitan? At this moment in time, he stood alone. He looked around for support. Only two friends stood with him. The promises of shaitan were totally false, he discovered now. He should have paid, because shaitan had told him. What does it mean the promises of shaitan were false? Shaitan had told him. You remember in the first meeting he held? Shaitan had gone and waswased all the people and told. What did they say? Whatever you decide against Musa alayhi salam, we will support you. They gave him a complete vote of support. This was shaitan that was working. Now he looks around, all the people that had given him the support all have now left him, walked away and are standing with Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He is standing all alone, only two cronies are with him, nobody else. This is what shaitan does. And now he is discovering it. He didn't want to listen and follow Nabi Musa. He is now discovering it when it is almost too late. At this moment he stood alone. The promises of shaitan were totally false. He should have paid attention to what Nabi Musa alayhi salam had taught him. He should have believed in the God of Musa, then things would have been different. All his friends and cronies deserted him in the face of inevitable disaster. They knew the power of miracles coming from Nabi Musa alayhi salam. They looked pitifully at the tortured face of Karun. Here stood the world's most powerful and wealthy man, the owner of tons and tons of gold and silver. But a man who disregarded the teachings of a humble prophet of Allah, and who also despised the poverty of the messenger of Allah. Material power, ambition, lust, evil and arrogance stood arraigned against spiritual power, against humility, piety, virtue and excellence. Nabi Musa alayhi salam possessed nothing more than the word of Allah Ta'ala in this world. But this word of Allah Ta'ala was sufficient to overpower the accumulated wealth and intelligence of Qarun. Qarun had spent his whole life in acquiring this wealth. Nabi Musa alayhi salam had spent his whole life in serving and being obedient to Allah Ta'ala. And now the man of the world faced the man of God. In such contests and challenges, the worldly have never once succeeded against the pious and devout slaves and true believers in Allah Ta'ala. Earth had received divine instruction to obey Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Turning to earth, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya ardu khuzihi, O earth, swallow Qarun. Qarun immediately began to sink. When he had sunk to his ankles, Qarun said, O Musa, is this one of your acts of sorcery? Is this magic? In fear, in trepidation, he is sinking, and yet he has this to say, that, O Musa, is this one of your acts? Is this one of your tricks? Is this magic that you are committing? However, when he had sunk to his knees, he broke out in cold sweat. He turned agonizingly to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, pleading for his life. The divine decree of Allah Ta'ala had been passed on him, however, and he went on sinking slowly into the ground as people watched on in amazement and in horror and in shock. His pleading was therefore of no value at this moment, for the stage of seeking pardon had already passed. This was like the pleading of the drowning Fir'aun, which also did not help him. Put the two things in perspective and you see, here is Fir'aun drowning. Once he finds that now it's too difficult to save himself, at first when the water overtook him, he told his people, swim out. But then he saw, no, the waters, his men are drowning all around him. He was a powerful swimmer, he was a very strong man. And he asked them to swim out when the two waters met, when the Red Sea met. After Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Bani Israel had left the shores, crossed the shore, then at that time when the two waters came together, he told his men to swim out. But eventually, as he started drowning, his men started drowning, and he saw all of them drowning, then he started, Oh Allah, save me, Oh Allah, save me, forgive me, forgive me, I believe in the God of Musa, I believe in the God, in one God, and all the rest of it, he started chanting. It was too late. Now the same thing is happening here with Qarun. Qarun, up to the ankles, he sneezes. In other words, he makes a mockery, he jokes. He feels this is just magic. He'll be released from this magic. As it goes up, to his knees, he sinks up to his knees, then he knows this matter is serious. He can see the expression of horror on the people. He can see the determination of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam can't do anything. Earth has received its instructions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O earth, whatever Musa instructs you, you obey. For I have made you subservient to the command of Musa. Musa says, Ya ardu khuzihi, O earth, swallow Qarun. And there he goes. Now he starts pleading. It's too late, brothers. Earth has already been given instruction, not by Musa alayhi salam. Earth has been given instruction by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The words are of Musa, but they have been put in the mouth of Musa by whom? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَعَرْضُ خُزِيهِ Nabi Musa a.s. doesn't say on his own. It is words which are told to him to say to Qarun. And then he says it, and there's the man going down. His pleading was therefore of no value at this moment, for the stage of seeking pardon had already passed. For example, I will mention here, in the hadith it comes that one of the major signs of Qiyamah is that the sun, which rises from the east and settles in the west, sets in the west. One of the signs of Qiyamah will be that the sun will rise from the west and set in the east. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when that sign takes place, after that nobody will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once that takes place, to seek forgiveness after that will be of no value. Now this is what has happened here. Sentence has already been passed on Qarun. Nothing can save him now. Not even Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam could save him then. The reason for this is, however, that Allah Ta'ala knows that if such... Now I give you the reason, but I won't give you the Quranic ayat, I've given it to you in the past. The reason is this. You may say now, here is a man now pleading. Firaun was pleading, now he wants forgiveness. Why didn't Allah Ta'ala forgive him? Yes, Qarun. Qarun knows that his death certificate is signed. He's going to die, nothing can save him. Why doesn't Allah Ta'ala save him? He has now realized he will accept Tawheed. Brothers, the reason for this is, time and again, evil men have been tested and have been found wanting. In other words, it has been found, and Allah in His wisdom knows, for Allah is all-knowing, that such people, when they are released, Quran-e-Pak informs us, once such people are left, for a period they may follow, and after that, back to their old ways. The reason for this is, however, that Allah Ta'ala knows that if such evil and unjust tyrants and people are released, they would simply return to their former beliefs of shirk and their former ways of tyranny. They are a lost people who seek not to change their lives and their ways. They only seek to ruin society. Qarun sank and sank and sank into the ground until he was up to his neck. Only his face and his head remained above the ground. He was a pitiful sight to behold. At first he had struggled to get out, but the ground held him firmly and he sank faster and deeper when he moved his limbs. When he tried to get out, he would sink faster, so he had to leave struggle. Now his eyes rolled in his head. Beads of perspiration ran down his brow and panic struck his entire face. Try as they might, people could not take their eyes off this gruesome end of a tyrant. People wanted to, and they tried, but slow motion, brothers. Here is a lesson that the Bani Israel must be taught. They must learn a lesson. Every lesson I've showed you so far, they did not. They went back, they kept going back, like in the previous story. Here is a man, Qarun, sentence is passed on him. Earth begins to swallow him. Slowly he sinks. Nobody can take their eyes off him. Everybody is watching him. They are watching the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he sinks and he sinks. Then eventually only he's up to his neck. Only his face is out. They see the contorted face of this man. And they see him sinking and going down. And here it is. They could not take their eyes off this gruesome end of a tyrant. Strange sounds came from the mouth of Qarun. These were gurgling sounds of a man seized with fear and horror. His wealth, his world, his power evaporated in front of him. As his mouth, then his nose, then his eyes, then his brows, and finally his head sank into and disappeared in the ground. People's eyes were magnetically locked to this dreadful scene of the macabre death of an evil and sinful tyrant. As soon as the body of Qarun disappeared into the ground, a rumbling and a roaring sound was heard from nearby. People looked aghast as the ground opened up, as the whole ground opened up and swallowed the entire palace with all the treasures and possessions of Qarun. All that wealth, all that gold, all that silver, the whole palace gilded and wrought with gold. everything in front of them. The whole ground opened up. First the man sank to his death, completely into the ground. And then the whole earth where his palace stood nearby, the whole earth opened up, and everything that he had worked so hard for, that he had accumulated, that he called his own, that he did not pay zakat on, or at least refused to pay zakat on, the ground opened up, everything was swallowed by the ground, and everything was covered completely over. All the gold and silver in the world could not help this enemy of Allah Ta'ala. He had defied the messenger of Allah Ta'ala, and this was his due. Not even shaitan could save him now. Nothing could save him or his possessions. Everything of his, including himself, were doomed to destruction. And so came to an end the life of Qarun, and thousands of people were witness of this fact. I may mention here that in spite of such stupendous miracles wrought before their very eyes, the Bani Israel were very reluctant to accept and follow the prophethood and message of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam after this. Such wondrous miracles appeared to make only temporary impressions on them. Further than that, their minds and their hearts were diseased with pride, greed and contempt. The Quran Majid gives us the whole story of Qarun in Surah Qasas, 28th Surah of the Quran, from ayat number 76 to ayat number 82, which translated goes as follows. We will end off with this translation from the Quran Pak. I've given you the story, now hear what the Quran has to say. This is what the Quran has to say. And I quote, "Verily, Qarun was of the people of Musa." In other words, he was the family of Musa. Qarun was the son of the uncle of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Here the Quran says, "Verily, Qarun was of the people of Musa, but he, Qarun, behaved arrogantly towards them. For we," meaning for Allah, "had given him so much treasure that his keys would have weighed down a group of strong men. When his people said unto him, 'Exalt not,'" when his people said unto him, "Exalt not," when his people said unto him, "Exalt not, verily Allah loves not the exultant, but seek to attain by means of the wealth which Allah has given you the abode of the hereafter, and forget not your portion in this world of charity," meaning of zakat, "and forget not your portion in this world of charity, but be bounteous unto others as Allah has been bounteous to you, and seek not to act corruptly in the earth, for Allah loves not the corrupt doers." He, Qarun, said, "I have received this wealth only because of the knowledge which is with me." Allah Ta'ala continues to say, "Did he, Qarun, not know that Allah had destroyed before him several generations who were mightier than him in strength and had amassed greater abundance of wealth? And the wicked will not be asked about their sins, for it will become manifest. And he, Qarun, went out before his people with pomp. Those who were desirous of the present life said, 'Oh, that we also had wealth like that given to Qarun. Verily, he is the owner of great wealth.' And those who had been bestowed with knowledge said, 'Alas for you, the reward of Allah is better for those who believe and do good works. And none attain the same reward except those who persevere steadfastly.'" Allah Ta'ala tells us, unquote, Allah Ta'ala tells us the above in the Quran Majid with regard to Qarun in Surah Qasas, 28th Surah of the Quran. When Qarun was told by Nabi Musa alayhi salam that his wealth was from Allah Ta'ala, that he should worship and obey one Allah, that he should follow Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Torah, that he should give alms, that is to say zakah, Qarun scoffed at the idea. He became more bold and corrupt. He increased his kufr and shirk, and he denounced Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Nothing could change his mind. He was determined to destroy Nabi Musa alayhi salam with all the worldly power at his disposal. Allah Ta'ala tells us further in the same Surah Qasas the story of what happened to Qarun when he chose the path of rebellion. The story now carries on in the Quran. And I start quoting again from Quran, same Surah Qasas, 28th Surah of the Quran, says Allah Ta'ala, then we caused the earth to swallow him, to swallow Qarun up, him and his palace. And he had no forces to save him from the punishment of Allah Ta'ala, nor could he defend himself. And the next day, those who had coveted Qarun's position or his condition the day before began to say, aha, verily Allah bestows abundant provision on such of his servants as he pleases and straightens it, in other words, narrows it for whom he pleases. Had Allah not been gracious to us, earth would certainly have swallowed us up also. Oh yes, the unbelievers will never prosper. This all, unquote, this all what I've said is in the Quran. The last part, obviously, here, Allah Ta'ala says, in other words, the people learned something from the story for a while, for a week, maybe a month, maybe a year. People, the Bani Israel went around saying, we mustn't make this mistake, you know, we must be careful because we have been saved. We have been saved because, look, we didn't covet wealth. We must give our zakat, we must listen to Nabi Musa, we must carry out our commandments, we must follow the Torah, we must care, we must be... And of course, after a week or a month or a year, back to their old tricks again. Back to their old ways again. This is the story of the Bani Israel. But here we are listening to the story of Qarun. And we are listening to what Qarun had. He had it all. And how he lost it all. Because he would not obey Allah Ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah Ta'ala. That is the story of Qarun, the most powerful man after Fir'aun in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Brothers, let's do a summary quickly. Just a summary. It's a one-page summary of this whole story. And then we conclude. The lessons we derive from the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Qarun are the following. The Bani Israel needed to be taught Tawheed, Risalat and Akhirat. Two messengers of Allah Ta'ala were chosen for this mission. One was Nabi Musa alayhi salam and the other was Nabi Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, and they were both brothers. Two leaders of the Bani Israel were chosen by Allah Ta'ala to oppose them and their mission, that was Fir'aun and Qarun. Two Nabis, Musa and Harun alayhi salam, they are brothers. Two people to oppose them, Fir'aun and Qarun. The two brother prophets were humble and poor and guided by Allah Ta'ala. But the two leaders were arrogant and rich and under the spell of shaitan. In other words, one following Allah, guided by Allah, listening to Allah, obeying Allah. The other under shaitan, following shaitan, listening to shaitan. The next comparison. Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Nabi Harun alayhi salam had miracles to prove their mission, as well as the revelation of the Torah, in other words, Wahi. While Fir'aun and Qarun had wealth and power and control of resources, dunya power was with Fir'aun and Qarun. Allah power, spiritual power, was with Musa and Harun. The two brother prophets relied upon the power of Allah Ta'ala, while the two leaders dependent on their worldly, they depended on their worldly status, their worldly wealthy position, and their armies for their power. Here is huge armies. Fir'aun's army was huge. Fir'aun's army was Qarun's army. He had wealth, they had position, they had rank, they had honor, people honor, material wealth, material position. What did Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam have? No army? Nothing. They only had the clothes that they had on. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam didn't have a wardrobe of clothes. He didn't have many shoes. Most of the time they walked around barefoot. They had hardly any clothes to put on. Nothing. No possession. Not a piece of gold to their name. And Qarun and Fir'aun had everything. So that is a comparison worth remembering. The prophets believed in the hereafter, while the leaders believed in the dunya, in the world. Next comparison. The prophets exercised extreme patience and tolerance, while the leaders were generally impatient and intolerant. Next comparison. The spiritual force of the prophets met the material force of the leaders in a final encounter. Here it is, the men of Allah and the men of dunya and the men of shaitan. Two forces and a final encounter. The prophets survived with not a single mark on them. And they continued with their mission. While Fir'aun was drowned and Qarun was swallowed by the earth. Fir'aun had resisted and opposed the prophets due to the power of being a ruler of a great country and a great army. While Qarun rejected and rebelled because of possession and because of wealth. Both lost out and were eventually destroyed by Allah Ta'ala. This is the lesson of life. This is the moral of the story in the Quran. A lesson for everybody. If a person follows the world and he obeys the waswas of shaitan, then he is doomed. The kalima will not emerge from his mouth when he dies. And he will suffer the agonies of death, the agonies of the grave and the suffering and punishment of the grave. And he will be doomed in the hereafter. The humble, the penitent, the pious, those who seek forgiveness and the obedient peoples will have no such problem. And their journey into the hereafter will be a smooth and a safe one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us. Inshallah. Ameen. Jazakumullah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Particular description and to purchase it at whatever price the owner asks for it. And to purchase it and to sacrifice it and to touch the corpse of the murdered man with a part of the sacrificed cow, whereupon the dead man would name his killer. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam has received revelation. I'm not going into too many details of the story. What had happened is amongst the Bani Israel there was trouble. Somebody was killed. When this person was killed, they couldn't find the murderer. They went to Nabi Musa, but there was accusations. You did it, you did it, you did it, the brothers did it, so on. Anyway, the case came before Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam referred the matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, tell them that they must sacrifice a cow of a particular description. They must look all over the land. When they find this cow, they must sacrifice, they must pay the price for this cow, whatever the price is, they must pay for it, and then they must take this cow and sacrifice it. They must take a meat of this cow and touch it to the man. A piece of meat of this cow, they must take and touch it to the man. And when they touch the flesh of the man with the flesh of the cow, then this man will name the killer. The search for such a cow led the Bani Israel to this noble son of a pious father, and they paid the boy the weight of this cow in gold, for it was the only cow that fitted the description given by Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and they were desperate to buy it, and they themselves offered this price without hesitation. Israelites had a lot of gold. Gold was the purchasing power at that particular time. It was the means of exchange at that particular time. And when they went, when after a lengthy search, they searched through all the places, went to all the people who had cows at the time, owners of cattle at the time, and they looked and they looked, and eventually somebody told them that, look, there is a poor family living in that hut, you go there, and they have got this, we think they have got this kind of cow, we've seen it recently grazing around there, go and find out. When they came there, they met the mother, they met the boy, and they asked the boy, and listen here, what's your price? So the man was dumbfounded, and when he didn't speak and reply to them, they thought he wants a higher price, and they kept offering it to him until they told him, all right, let's not, we need it desperately, we have instructions. Meanwhile, what is behind them is, how true is it going to be that this dead person is going to give us the name of the killer? There was more curiosity involved, because they were a mischievous people. That is the idea behind, that's why they were prepared to pay the price. Alright, what price you want? 12 dinars, 20 dinars, 200 dinars, 1000 dinars, whatever you want. And eventually it came that they paid him. Of course, there's another story here also, another riwayat which says they paid X amount. It mentions a certain amount of 1000 dinars or so. Then there's another riwayat that says they paid him the amount that the when it was slaughtered, they weighted the leather, I mean the covering of it, its skeleton, they filled the leather, what do you call the
Skin.
The whole skin was taken and it was filled with dinars, and that's the price they paid. But the two are the same. The one riwayat that says they paid the skin full, its skin full in gold, or the one that I have chosen, that they paid its weight in gold, dinars. It's one and the same. So anyway, that is a price. But can you imagine the reward of piety? Somewhere along the line it comes. You know, in Surah Kahf also it is about the boys whose pious father died, and then eventually the wall of the house, Khizr alayhi salam came and he dropped the wall, and below it there was a hoard of gold that had been preserved there, and it was meant for them. Here again, the story is in the Quran. Anyway, the curiosity, they paid them the price, and this is what happened thereafter. They paid the price without hesitation. When a piece of the meat of the sacrificed cow was taken and it was struck against the body of the murdered man, then by the will of Allah Ta'ala, a miracle appeared before their very eyes. The dead man stood up, he named his killer, and he fell down again and died. This remarkable story is briefly mentioned in Ayat 72 of Surah Baqarah, to show that even such amazing miracles could not turn the stubborn Israelites from rebellion against the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. They were a heedless and an obstinate people whom nothing could turn from ungraciousness and ingratitude. And here again, following up to end the story, is the translation from the Quran where it is mentioned. And I give the translation and end today's lesson. The translation is as follows. And when Musa turned to his people, "Verily Allah commanded you to sacrifice a cow." They answered, "Do you make a jest of us?" Musa said, "Allah forbid that I be of the foolish ones." They said, "Pray for us to your sustainer that he show us what cow it is." Musa answered, "He, Allah says, she is neither an old cow nor a young heifer, but between the two. So do now what you are commanded to do by Allah." They said, who? The Bani Israel. They said, "Pray for us to your sustainer that he would show us what color she is." Musa answered, "He, Allah says, she is a red cow of bright color, delightful to the beholders." They said, the people said, "Pray for us to your sustainer that he would further show us what cow it is, for cows to us are like one another. And if Allah please, we will be guided." Musa answered, "He, Allah says, she is a cow not broken to plow the earth or water the field. This cow is a sound one. There is no blemish on her." The people said, "Now have you brought the truth?" Then they sacrificed her, though they would rather not have done so. And the next ayat, I notice here, I have not copied it. This is from Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, ayat number 67 to 71. I've missed out one translation because I only did this today. I was not supposed to give you this translation, but when I was going over it for delivery today, I wrote this down, and I've missed out one ayat. The ayat where the translation, where Allah Ta'ala says how when the meat was touched, then the man stood up and actually named the killer. That is also in the Quran. I will recite that for you next week and then proceed with next week's story, which is the story of Qarun in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Inshallah. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Yet all of us admit to the limitations of human power and to the infinite and boundless power of Allah Ta'ala, which is to be perceived in all of creation. So stop having doubts and stop casting doubts in your mind. How else could all these have happened? I have told you, rub out of your mind, totally remove from your mind that everything is metaphorical and allegorical. There is no myth involved in all this. This is the reality of creation. And if you cannot understand it otherwise, don't put everything to metaphor. These are things that must have occurred, otherwise Quran would not have mentioned them. And I'm soon to recite to you ayat of the Quran and a hadith that I have narrated and drawn these from, to authenticate and corroborate what I am saying to you. Adam alayhi salam noticed that the human population was divided into ranks, brothers, we'll end off just now. Adam alayhi salam noticed that the human population was divided into ranks and divisions as they stood in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. So he said, O Allah, there are divisions among my children. Now remember what I said, that all the posterity of Adam, his children, as they were drawn out of the banks, all of them were in safs, arranged in groups or divisions. So Adam asked Allah Ta'ala now, O Allah, there are divisions amongst, I see that they're all divided up. Allah Ta'ala said, there are among them, amongst your children, there are among them believers and disbelievers. There are rich and there are poor. And there are the happy and there are the distressed ones amongst them. Adam said, O Allah, how wonderful it would be if all of them were equal, if all my children were equal. Subhanallah, a father worrying about his children. O Allah, why must there be all these divisions, rich and poor and happy and distressed? And O Allah, can't my children all be equal? Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala said, O Adam, I am pleased with those who offer me thanks. That is, who show their gratitude to me. In other words, those who make my shukr. I am pleased with them. Therefore, I have not made the contented to be distressed, or the wealthy to be beggars, or the obedient to be rebellious. Brothers, I'm going to end off there. There's a lengthy hadith coming up after this, and I'm continuing with the discussion between a question by Adam alayhi salam to Allah Ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reply. Those that are following now are very, very serious and of great importance to us. So I will end off the lesson there. Ending off with, let us see, Allah Ta'ala replies, Adam alayhi salam asked, why all these divisions in my children? Why are not all of them equal, O Allah? Allah Ta'ala says, I am pleased with those who make my shukr. Therefore I have not made the contented to be distressed, or the wealthy to be beggars, or the obedient to be rebellious. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Brothers, our scientists, academics, go into the universities of the world. How many will you find believers? How many will you find? For every one believer, you will find 1,001 who is not a believer. And yet they deal with the ayatillah, with the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Day and night they are dealing with nothing else but with the signs of Allah. Everything that indicates the greatness, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet they do not accept. Now you imagine what will happen to them. This is why in the Quran Pak it is repeated so often, over and over again. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Brothers, we will continue next week inshallah, in order to prove that one. The same with science. Man has yet to discover many of the things that have been mentioned in the Quran. Ajib kitab. So we must learn their prayer. That is why we say, recite Quran, brothers. The reason is, you recite one light of Quran, you have actually, in fact, recited 5,000 pages, volumes. This is the miracle of the Quran. So brothers, recite Quran morning and evening, no matter how busy you are. Do recite half a page, one page, half a juz, one juz, quarter juz, but every day make it a discipline and a must, like your farad salah. I must recite Quran. I must recite it every day. This Quran is going to be your companion in the qabr. This Quran is going to be your savior in the hereafter. Jazakumullah. Let's proceed. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Our subject is shaitan's plan for man. The holy month is Dhul-Hijjah. The year 1411 after the Hijrah, equivalent to the last day of the month of June of the year 1991. Sunday, we perform Salah of Asr with Jama'ah. Alhamdulillah, we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mah, favor, and we send darud and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We commence today with the story of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam and Queen Bilqis. She was a ruler, she was a queen of the land of Saba. The land of Saba being in the Yemen. The Quran has referred to it as the land of Saba. Therefore, we will use the word Saba, the word used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this particular land over which ruled this queen, referred to generally as Queen Sheba. We're not going to use the word Sheba. It is a word coined by the kuffar. We're going to use the queen of Saba, the word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used. Nabi Sulaiman and all the other Anbiya's, you will notice, I use the words that have been mentioned in the Quran. I don't say Abraham for Ibrahim alayhi salam. I don't say Solomon for Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. I don't say Noah for Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Brothers, use the words that Allah has used in the Quran. Don't say Moses for Musa. It is wrong to do so. For Allah has chosen Musa for Nabi Musa alayhi salam. That is just a point. Let's proceed now with the story. It is a fairly long story. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam was the son of Nabi Dawood alayhi salam. He was also the prophet who succeeded the prophethood of Nabi Dawood alayhi salam. He was both son, therefore, and the successor to Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a wise man, who? Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. He was a powerful man, and he was also a unique messenger of Allah Ta'ala, who ruled over an exceedingly vast dominion of the Middle East. He was thus both a ruler, meaning that he was a king, and he was also a messenger, a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like his father, Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. The wisdom and intelligence of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was excellent, however, that from an early age, father and son often conferred and consulted one another in matters of state, in matters of justice. And Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam always gave serious consideration to the judgment of his son, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. In this way, his fame spread throughout the East and preceded him. People came to know that here is a father, Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. But when cases come before them, cases of state, cases of matters of justice or ruling has to be given, when there's a problem confronting the country, then there are hundreds of cases that have been recorded. We have them in our possession, wherein we learn of the wisdom of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. He was extremely wise. How interesting it would be. It would take me many, many days to tell you all the various cases that were dealt by Nabi Dawood alayhi salam and his son Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, wherein on many occasions Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, upon being asked by his father, used to advise and tell his father that, my dear father, this and that, from a very young age, very young and tender age, something like from his first matter that he judged, I think it is recorded that Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam was about 11 years old when he gave his first opinion and judgment to his father. So you can imagine, but they're not like our 11 and 12 year olds. They were very mature for their years, and Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam was blessed by Allah Ta'ala with extremely excellent intelligence and wisdom from a very young age. When Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam came onto the throne, and brothers, those people used to live for 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years was their lifespan. They were huge, healthy people. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, upon the death of Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, acceded to the throne because he was both king and a messenger, a prophet of Allah Ta'ala. So Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam ascended to the throne at the age of 220 years. And when he came onto the throne, when he succeeded his father, both as king and prophet, he begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him a kingdom unlike anything to ever appear again on earth. O Allah, bless me with a kingdom, that kind of country, that kind of rule, the kind of which this earth, humanity, will never see again until the day of judgment. O Allah, favor me, bless me with that kind of rule and that kind of kingship that will never be seen again on earth. That was the dua of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam.